This week's parsha is a parsha that has a number of very important themes that we've discussed in the past. But before I even get to what I want to talk about tonight, which at times can be something that makes us feel powerless, makes us frustrated, I want to start with an important hakdama, which is a comment of the Pnei Menachem, one of the Ger Rebbe's, based on a Rashi in this week's parsha. Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yebez, in the Shira we say, Natisa Yemincha Tivla'emo Aretz, that you stretched out your right arm, Tivla'emo Aretz, and they were swallowed up by the land. So you look in Rashi. Rashi says, Tivla'emo Aretz, Mikan Shezachu L'Kvura. What does this mean, Tivla'emo Aretz, that the land swallowed them up? It means that the Egyptians merited burial. Right? Bishar she'amru Hashem ha'tzadik. If you remember, a few weeks ago we spoke about this, that after Makas Barad, at the end of Parshas Ve'era, Rashi, we see the Mar Makom in Perek Tes, Pasuk, where was it? Pasuk Chav Zayin, that after Barad, right, Paro said, Ve'yomer aleim chatasi ha'pam Adonai ha'tzadik ve'ani ve'ami ha'rishoim, that I am the tzadik, that Hashem is the tzaddik, me and my nation are the Rishayim. So Rashi says from the Mechilta, based on that statement, the fact that Paro said, b'fnei am v'eda, in front of everyone, in front of Moshe Aaron, in front of his people, Hashem ha-tzaddik, v'ani v'ami ha-Rishayim, that Hashem is the righteous, me and my nation are the wicked ones, he merited burial. The Pnei Menachem of Ger, one of the more recent Ger Rebbe, points out, says, what an amazing thing. To merit kivura, to be merit to be buried, is not a simple thing. A Russia like Paro, who caused such suffering for the Jewish people, who killed hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of our family members, that Paro should be zocha to kivura, Paro should merit burial. Why should Paro merit burial? And what's the answer? The Pnei Menachem of Ger says, because he said those words, Tzadik hu Hashem, ani va'ami harishayim. The Pnei Menachem says, so we see that there's a great value in even the simplest things. Paro, in a moment of weakness, in a moment of feeling humbled, a moment that he felt endangered, right? He said, you know what, enough, he's overwhelmed, and he blurts out, God is righteous, me, I'm the wicked one. Because of that moment of weakness, and soon right after, what does the pasuk tell us? Wait, no, but then he hardened his heart again, right? In that moment of weakness, Paro was blown away, and he blurts it out, and the Pnei Menachem says, because of such a small, simple thing, he merited to be buried. Him and his people merited burial at the Yam Suf, which is a tremendous zechus, which is a tremendous thing. Now, the Pnei Menachem points out that in our own avoda, in our own service of God, how often we say, oh, that's not important. Oh, we don't, what's that worth? You know, what's the tehillim that we say in shul worth? Well, what's this worth? What's that worth? And we really make light of our own personal spiritual achievements. And very often we look at this whole wide world and we say, what difference can I make? And you belittle yourself. As Lubavitcher Rebbe, Wednesday is Yud Shvat. That was the day that the Rebbe Zechusia Gimelena from Menachem Mendel Schneerson took over as Rebbe of Chabad a year after his father-in-law died. The Rebbe Riatz, the Friedrich Rebbe, passed away on Yud Shvat, I think 1950, and the Rebbe took over Yud Shvat 1951. So that's a big day, obviously, by Chabad, the famous Maimer of Basi Lagani, that God comes into his garden, God comes into the world. A very, very special day, but we know as Lubavitcher Rebbe would often say, there's no such thing as a small Jew. There's no such thing as little things in service of God. Everything you do has great, great impact. And this is a famous story that Rav Meilich Biederman tells over Chassidus Shemashpi in Yerushalayim, that one time there was a bacher from Switzerland who was learning in a yeshiva in Lithuania. And he was traveling home from Lithuania to Switzerland. He made his trip that he was going to stop over for one day in Raden. Why did you want to stop over in Raden? Raden was not a very big town, but who lived in the Raden? Chafetz Chaim lived in Raden. So that was a reason to go to Raden. And so he gets into Radin late at night. It's really like 2 o'clock in the morning at the train station. And there's a Jew, there's an old Jew there who sees him, a young yeshiva guy. He goes, where are you going? He says, just stopping through. He says, where are you staying tonight? He says, I don't really know. He says, come with me. He says, what's your name? Tzvi Levinson. Oh, Rav Levinson. I actually came here because I wanted to see your father-in-law, meaning he was the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim. He says, come to me, eat something, get a good shluf, and tomorrow morning I'll bring you to my father-in-law. So he gets back to the home with his host. It's very, very late at night, early, early in the morning, and he tells his host, who really starts to go make food, and he goes, you know what, no food, I'm exhausted. I just want to go to sleep. Right? So he gets in a very warm, comfy bed, and then he realizes, oh, I didn't daven ma'arif. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, right? Women are not obligated to daven ma'arif. But I'll tell you, that's a real test of one's avodas Hashem when you're exhausted and you're in bed, in pajamas, and you're like, oh gosh, I didn't daven ma'arif. Because you like start saying Kriya Shema, you're like, wait, this doesn't sound familiar. I didn't do this yet tonight. Oh, no. Right? So this Talmud, he says, you know what? This Bacher says, I'll get up for Ma'ariv in a minute. You're done. You're done. Once you say that, you're done. And he falls asleep. Right? He wakes up the next morning, Davin Shachris with Rav Levinson, and he forgets all about the fact that he didn't have Ma'ariv the night before. They go back, they have breakfast, and then he brings him to his father-in-law, the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim says to him, Bacherl, he says, you know, I remember when the Tsars still ran so much of this part of the world. In the days of the Tsar, people were so wealthy, there was so much wealth, that when people dropped money, they rarely even bent down to pick it up. But today, when there's such poverty, even a rusted copper coin falls on the floor, and what happens? Everyone will jump down to pick it up. Everyone bends down to pick it up. And the guy's wondering, like, what's the Chafetz Chaim talking about? Why is he giving me this lesson? What's the nostalgia here? And then the lesson became very evident. He says to him, he says, Bacharel, he said, when the Ribbono Shel Olam had Tanoim and Amoroim, Rishonim, your Ma'ariv, maybe it really didn't mean much. But now that we're in a state of such spiritual disrepair, we're in such a broken, broken state. You know what your ma'ariv means in heaven? Hashem's missing your ma'ariv. Again, how did the Chafetz Chaim know that he didn't have ma'ariv? That's a good question. I'm not going there. You know, yeah. But the lesson of the Chafetz Chaim, that in a time of spiritual decay, in a time of great challenges, we don't have Tanoim. We don't have Amoroim. We don't have Rishonim. We don't have the great Achronim. Do you know how every tefillah is important? Do you know what every Tehillim we say means? When you open a Tehillim and you try and open up your heart to God? If one declaration by such a rush of Paro can merit Kivura, burial, don't make light of what we do. Don't make light of anything, how we serve God. Every effort that we put forth, every challenge, every little nisayon that you have, whether to push yourself, not be, whatever it is, to work a little bit harder for kavana, to hold back for a few seconds from not saying the lashon hara, these things are incredibly valuable, especially today's day and age, especially when spirituality is in such a fallen state. And so that's the hakdama for what I wanted to talk about tonight. Because what I wanted to talk about tonight is something that's very disturbing. Very disturbing. This morning there was a levaya in Eretz Yisrael for a mother of 6 children, Daphne Meir. 4 were biological children, 2 children that she got through the foster system and actually adopted. She herself evidently had a very difficult childhood and grew up in foster care. But as one of the heads of the foster care system in Israel said about her, that she remembered what it was. And she turned the difficulties she had as a child into a growing experience, and that she wanted to save children from such difficulty. And she was supposedly a very, very special, special woman. And I printed out a little bit of her husband's hesped for her. Her husband was the last one that spoke, Nathan. Ariel Kotler sent an email about he met the husband a number of years ago. The husband works in environmental high school near Arad. I wanted to share this because he says something at the end that I think is going to sort of give us a little bit of our focus for tonight's shiur. You read it, it's very so powerful, the emuna that he expresses in the middle on page one. Dear Father, I have no second thoughts about you at all. Give us strength. Be present at our home. Let us feel your warm embrace, your love. But he says, two paragraphs later, Daphna had a large crown, the crown of truth, Nathan said. She was very honest, as accurate as a razor. Not everyone liked that, but everyone was able to appreciate it, and this truth has now been thrown to the ground. It has burst into smithereens. That's, I think, a play on the famous Medrash, that when God was creating the world, there was an argument between the different attributes, whether or not to create the world, and truth said, don't create it, and the Medrash says that God took emes and threw it to the ground. Emes me'aretz titzmach, that the truth grows up from the ground. Then he writes, I request that everyone who came out here pick up something from the light that was spilled on the ground so that truth may spring from the earth. That was the husband's request, that everyone who was at the Levaya connect to some of the truth that Daphna shared, and in that way to bring her truth back into the earth. So turn to the second page. Is something that Daphna herself wrote. She was a nurse in Soroka Hospital in Be'er Sheva, and this is what she wrote on her blog, a tefillah that she wrote before taking an exam on medicines. And it's just such a powerful tefillah, and it's a tefillah that connects beautifully with the pasuk in this week's parasha. And this pasuk is what I want to learn tonight. If we have time, I'd also like to learn an idea from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz's son, Reb Rafal Shmulevitz, passed away today. He was the Rosh Hashiva in the Mir, like his father was. He was a grandson of Lazer Yudel Finkel, the founder of the Mir Yeshiva in Israel from Europe. The Mir Yeshiva, after the war, had two branches. Actually, Reb Lazer Yudel went to Israel before the war, and he established the Mir there. So Reb Lazer Yudel's, one of his daughters, married Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Their son was Reb Fall, who was one of the geniuses of geniuses. A good friend of mine learnt by Reb Fall, was very close to Reb Fall, and would speak about his greatness as Mido. So if we have time to learn an idea from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, his son passed away today, but an idea that relates to something we learned before about Parshas B'Shalach, and also is something that gave me great chizuk, connecting to a lot of the emotions that I was feeling yesterday and today. But let's read this tefillah together. Let's learn the pasuk, and let's see where we are. She wrote, may it be your will, creator of the world, he who manages it with mercy and love and kindness, to grant me the ability to give medications to your people in need of salvation, and also to the members of other nations who are in the devoted care of your faithful messengers, who continue their holy work day and night on the Shabbos and holidays without let up. Grant that I understand, remember, and realize that the medications are a gift from you, and their efficacy is your message to us. Grant that I view and feel joy at their beneficial influence of the medications I mercifully can give those who are ill. Grant me the ability to concentrate when giving out these medicines to understand the way each acts on disease. Grant that I notice in time any of my errors or those of my colleagues when handing out medications and they act quickly to correct the errors before the medication enters the body of the patient. Grant that I act with modesty, learn and teach others about the successes and failures in giving medication. Grant that I give medications to the sick from a position of good health and that I remember to be grateful that I myself do not have to take them. Grant that I learn to have empathy, although in good health, with the patient suffering, and help him with all my ability every day and every hour, using the tools that you have given me. Amen. So clearly, this is a very special woman. There's a woman in preparation for taking a nursing exam, writes a tefillah, that Hashem should guide her in what she's doing. And as her husband said about her, you see on the first page, you know, he says that maybe it was someone else who meant, no, he said, my Daphne was one in a million. one in a million who grew up in a troubled home and managed to rebuild herself and give kindness back to the world. But clearly a special person who writes such a tefillah. And there's a pasuk in this week's parsha that I wanted to learn together. But the precursor to the pasuk, of course, the pasuk's page 382, 383, is a story. Is a story that Rav Mordechai of Neshchiv. Neshchiv was a town in Ukraine. A small chassidus does not exist anymore. But Rav Mordechai of Neshchiv, so he once had a chassid who came to him with tremendous, tremendous pains, tremendous sickness. A fellow is just like chronically ill. And Rav Mordechai told his chassid, no, he says, go to Anapoli and go to the great professor in Anapoli to heal you. So the chassid says, okay, I'll go to Anapoli. He goes to Anapoli. And if you know, in chassidus, Anapoli was not a big town, Reb Zusha of Anapoli, but this was after Reb Zusha. Goes to Anapoli, he asks one of the Jews, he says, you know, where's the big professor in Anapoli? The guy looks at him and goes, professor in Anapoli? There's a dirt poor town. There's no professor here. He goes, where's the doctor, the big doctor? He goes, there's no doctor here. So he said, what do you mean there's no doctor here? The Rebbe sent me to the big professor. I don't understand, what do you do when you get sick? He says, well, what do? We daven. That's what we do when we get sick. So the chassid's all upset, goes back to his rabbi, goes, Rabbi, I'm saying there's no professor in Anapoli. Guy didn't get it yet. So the Rav Mordechai says to him, he says, I don't understand, did he ask the people in Anapoli what they do? He says, yeah, they daven. That's all they do. Rav Mordechai looks at him and goes, exactly. That's the professor of Anapoli. He says, the Ribbono Shalom is the ultimate healer. And again, not that we don't use medicine, right, but as Rebbe of mine said about the former Mashkiach in Yeshivas Karen Biavner of Avram Rivlin, a number of years ago, we had a Shabbos afternoon shiur learning his sefer on the Haftoros, that the Rebbe of mine said about Rav Rivlin, you know what a tzaddik he is? Like, when he gets sick, the first thing he does is he sits at home and says Tehillim for a whole day. Then, if he's still sick, he'll go to the doctor. But as Rebbe of mine said, do you know how many times he didn't have to go to the doctor after just sitting home and saying Tehillim for a day? But the pasuk is here, page 382, 383 in the Arutz Scroll Chumash, Perek Tezvav, pasuk Chavav. Vayomer im shama tishma lekol Adonai Elohecha v'hayosher be'inav ta'ase v'azante l'mitzvasov v'shamartach kol chukov kol machal asher samti v'mitzrayim lo'osim alecha ki ani Adonai rofecha. And Moshe says, if you listen to the voice of Hashem, your God, do what is straight in His eyes, and hearken to His mitzvos, and guard all the statutes. Any illness that I place on its Mitzrayim, I won't place on you, for I am Hashem, your healer. So there's a famous question on this, what do you mean? If He's not going to put the illness on, then why do we need a healer? So that's a story, probably an apocryphal story, told about the Rambam. Probably not true, but... So if you've seen any Sfarim, don't say, oh, that's not, maybe, I don't know, but, you know, it sounds like it's made out of any wise man of any culture, any society, that we know the Rambam was a doctor to the Sultan in Egypt, right? And once the Sultan came to him, you know, I don't understand Rambam. He probably didn't call him Rambam, right? Said, I don't, it's probably Moisa, something like that, Moses, said, I don't understand, you know? I'm always healthy. I'd never have to test whether or not you're really a good doctor. And the Rambam says it to him, my dear Sultan, the reason why you never get sick is because I'm such a good doctor. Because I show you what to eat. I make sure you get exercise. The fact that you don't get sick is a testimony to what a great doctor I am. You don't even understand. So the idea here, kal machla shamti misrayim losim alecha ki ani Hashem rofecha, that Hashem is the rofe, and in that way we don't get sick. In that way, there's no machla that we get afflicted with. But what's fascinating about this pasuk is that the tour, the son of the Rosh, the first version of the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Kuf Tezayin in Aruch Chaim, he points out that there are 27 words in this pasuk. Why is that significant? Because the Brach and Rifa'enu in Shemona Esrei also has 27 words. Meaning the whole idea of Refuah, the whole idea of asking Hashem to heal us is based upon what? Is based upon this pasuk. The idea ki ani Hashem rofecha, that we have to understand all refuah, all healing, ultimately comes from the Ribbono Shel'olam. And that's what Daphna was saying in her tefillah, if you saw, that she should always remember that the medications come from Hashem, that for the medications to work, all come from the Ribbono Shel'olam, ki ani Hashem rofecha. And what's interesting is, that Reb Chaim Berlin, who was a son of the Netziv, Reb Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the Netziv was the last Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin, and he had two sons, Reb Chaim Berlin, and if you know, there's a yeshiva, obviously, in Brooklyn named Chaim Berlin. Well, if you don't know, maybe not obvious. And what was his other son's name? Reb Meir Berlin. But he was more known by his Hebraicized version of his name, Reb Meir Bar Ilan. And there's a university named after him. So one son had a big yeshiva name, the other big university, from university. Not too bad. It shows you the father, the Netziv, must have been a really special person. For Reb Chaim Berlin, he points out that the brach of Rifa'inu, the 27 words corresponding to this pasuk right here, and the brach of Asher Yatzar, he says are two very, very different brachos. What's the difference between Asher Yatzar and the brach of Rifa'inu? And there, believe it or not, halachic implication as well, we'll talk about. Reb Chaim Berlin says, based upon a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph, Rabbi Akiva has a conversation with a non-believer, and Rabbi Akiva points out to him that whenever Hashem sends an illness to this world, there's also a set amount of time that the illness is going to afflict the person. Once the time for the illness is up, it comes with a gezeira, how much time that illness is going to be in that person. Once that time is up, the illness goes away. Because the person asks, Rabbi Akiva, I don't understand, you have idolaters, they go sick to their houses of idol worship, and they come out and they feel better. So, you know, I don't understand. Rabbi Akiva says, no, trust me, it's not the house of idol worship. It's that Hashem, and there's a whole back and forth in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva proves it to him and brings rayos, brings proofs, logical proofs. But from this, Reb Chaim Berlin points out that the bracha of Asher Yatzar, what is the end of the bracha? Baruch Ata Hashem, Rofei Kol Basar. Kol Basar, Mafli Lasos. That's a bracha of what? That ultimately any person who gets sick, any person who has some type of ailment, understand it's for a time. And ultimately every person in the world, Jew, non-Jew, you keep mitzvahs, you don't keep mitzvahs, an illness has a set amount of time that it's coming. But when he says the bracha of Rifa'enu, reflecting the theme of this bracha, what is this, of this pasuk, what does this pasuk say? Im shama tishma l'kol Hashem alakecha, v'yashir be'enav tasev azantel mitzvosov. Meaning that there seems to be some type of healing that if you are connected to Hashem, there's a different type of healing. And Reb Chaim Berlin says that's what we daven for in Rifa'enu, right? And when in the bracha of Rifa'enu, when you think about Rofei Neman Rachman, why is Hashem a Rofei Neman? What does that mean? God is a faithful healer. What does that mean? So what Reb Chaim Berlin says that in the bracha of Rifa'enu, we're saying a different type of refuah, a refuah before the time of the illness is even set to leave this world, that through connecting to Hashem, we can make the illness leave earlier. And so that's what Reb Chaim Berlin is saying, that the bracha of Asher Yatzar, the bracha of Rifa'enu, really represents two different modes of healing. There's what we might call the natural mode of healing, the teva, the nature of healing. But that's, of course, as we know from the Ramban in last week's parsha, of course, it's all Hashem. But that it looks like it follows some type of natural progression. But then there's a type of healing that is me'ala teva, the healing of being connected to God and Hashem removing the illness before it's the gezeira for it to expire. And the halachically, it's a very interesting nafka mina la halacha. Normally we don't talk halacha in this year, but there's a fascinating question. If a person goes to the bathroom during davening or forgets to say Asher Yatzar, and then you said Shmona Esrei, do you still have to say Asher Yatzar? So there are some achronim who argue that you don't have to say Asher Yatzar anymore. Why? Because you said the bracha of Rifa'inu. One is Rofei Kol Basar Mafli Lasos, Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael. What's the difference? They both talk about God as a healer, right? God making sure that our bodies are going to work. So the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Waldenberg, who was actually the posik for Shari Tzedek Hospital at the end of his life, famous posik in the latter half of the 20th century in Eretz Yisrael, published many, many volumes of Tshuvos, really an amazing, amazing thinker. We've quoted him in many different halacha shiurim in the past. But the Tzitz Eliezer, he said, quotes this from Chaim Berlin, and says, no, you're not Yotzei Asher Yatzar because you said Rifa'inu in Shmona Esrei. Why? Because they're two different brachos. They're really just two different brachos. We know that if a person didn't say Berchas HaTorah and you said Ava Rabba, that you don't have to say Berchas HaTorah. If a person forgot the bracha of Elokai Neshama and you said the bracha of Mechaya Mesim and Shmona Esrei, you don't have to say Elokai Neshama. Why? Because it's the same bracha. But Rav Chaim Berlin says The Tzitz Eliezer says, based on this Reb Chaim Berlin, that there are two different brachos. And what this means is that we always have to remember, no matter what's going on, the lesson of Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha is, ultimately everything is B'yad Hashem. And this Daphne Meir, who understood this as a nurse, this was a woman who understood this as a nurse, and certainly as we see from what her husband says, her husband said, you know, we quoted right away, "Dear Father, I have no second thoughts about you at all. Give us strength, be present at our home, let us feel your warm embrace, your love." The emuna of her husband, not them. This is something that when we confront such difficulties in Eretz Yisrael, such difficulties all around us, people getting ill, and what we have to remember is Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha. We have to remember ultimately that everything is B'yad Hashem. And what we also have to remember is that every little thing that we do makes a difference. When you hear of tzaros in Eretz Yisrael, right? You know, I told you this before, that the Briska Rav, they quote that whenever he heard of a person who was ill, or any heard of some tragedy or some horrible thing, even in the middle of a conversation, he would stop and he would say, "Lishuascha kivi si Adonai," that Hashem, for your salvation I wait. Right? It's a pasuk, right? Why did he say that pasuk? So we know there are halachic explanations but Rav Shimshon Pinkus in the Sha'arim B'Tefillah points out that his suggestions why the Briska Rav did that, because normally you daven, according to most Rishonim, davening every day is not a din d'araisa. It's a din d'rabbanan to daven every day. When is it a din d'araisa to daven? Be'ez tzara, in a time of distress. So when the Briska Rav was talking to someone and heard of something painful for another person, and it distressed the Briska Rav, so from a halachic perspective, he just became obligated in davening midaraisa. Meaning this morning, maybe he only davened the Rabbanan, if he didn't have any tzar specifically that was weighing on his heart, although I'm sure the Briska Rav had many. But the fact is that now there was a new tefillah that obligated midaraisa. So when we hear of what happened in Eretz Yisrael, we hear of these great tzaras, we hear of Rachmana Litzlan, you know, a former Bria student from Passaic, who died with her car going into the Passaic River, a six-year-old boy being walked by his mother to Pirche, to Shabbos groups. In Highland Park, Dahlia Adler was his counselor this summer. In Camp Chaverin, down in Highland Park. Like, what's been going on? Horrific. Horrific. Correct. 100% horrific. Horrific tzaras. Why? We don't know why. We don't know why. The question is, as Rav Soloveitchik always said, what? What are we going to do about it? And unfortunately, when there's so much tzara, there's a natural reaction by people to say, oh, I'm done. I can't. There's yish. There's despair. And what the Pnei Menachem is teaching us from the Rashi in this week's parasha, from Paro, Tesvav Yud Beis, Tivlo Emo Aretz, Paro merited kfura because he screamed out Tzadik Hu Hashem. When you hear of a tzara, to see Shir Hamalos Mimamakim Kirasich Hashem. Hashem Shimma Vikoli Tienos Necha Kashuvos Akol Tachanunai. Who knows what the power of one parak of Tehillim is? You know, the Rebbe Riatz, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, whose Yartzeit is Wednesday, is tomorrow night Wednesday. He was very into that Mir Tehillim. He said if we understood the power of Tehillim, we would say Tehillim all day long. We wouldn't want to stop saying Tehillim, the Rebbe Riatz. He was very into it. But today we talk about Tehillim Zogers. They don't know. No. Tehillim Zogers. Oh, they can't learn. They can't just say Tehillim. No. We don't mean just read the words. We mean to try to understand, to try and connect with the words of Tehillim. It's a very, very big avoda. It's a very deep thing to say Tehillim. And when you hear of such tzaras, don't think, Nebuchadnezzar, this is horrible. What can I? No. They should daven. You should be mispal. For whatever tzaras there are out there, we have a responsibility to act. We have a responsibility to do something about it. It's already a little bit late. Maybe you could hold on just a little bit for one idea from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. It's a very, very important idea. It's related to a medrash in this week's parasha, really a peledika medrash, a medrash that, you know, at the outset, what is this medrash teaching us? It's medrash Chav Gimel, parasha Chav Gimel Simen Aleph, and medrash Rabbah Shmos Rabbah, Oz Yashir Moshe, right? Az Yashir Moshe, we know where that is. That's beginning of Perek Tezvav, right? Page 374. Az Yashir Moshe. Then Moshe began to sing. Hadahu Dichsiv, This pasuk is what it says. Nachon kisacha meyaz. This is a Perek Tehillim, Tzadi Gimel, Pasuk Beis, Hashem Melech Keos Lavesh. We say it Friday night. We say it Shabbos, Shabbos day. So Amar Rabbi Yachar B'Shem Rabbi Abo, Afal Pishe Me'olam Ata, Nachon Kisacha Me'oz Me'olam Ata, meaning your throne has been established, Me'oz, from then. Me'olam Ata, you've always been, even though Hashem has always been forever, Lo Nisyashev Kisacha, your throne wasn't settled. And what does that mean? V'lo nodata b'olamcha, and you weren't known in your world, ad she'amru v'necha shira, until your children sang. L'kach nemer, that's why it says, nachon kisacha me'oz, that God's throne was established properly from when? Me'oz. From when? Me'oz yashir. When the Jews sang, oz yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael, that's when nachon kisacha me'oz. That's when God's throne was established. What's this mean? What is he talking about? What does this mean? Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz has such a beautiful hezber. And a hezber that really speaks to me with everything that's going on, but a hezber that should be a zechus for his son, Rabbi Rafael Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha's Levi, I think is tomorrow morning in the Mir in Yerushalayim. What does this mean? So he connects it to a Gemara in Brachos and a story in Malachim Aleph Perek Beis. We know David HaMelech has died, and he brings his son Shlomo, last will and testament. What does he tell Shlomo? You know what takes up nine psukim? He tells Shlomo, he says, the guy Shimi ben Gera, who cursed me out. I swore I wouldn't do anything to him. Kill him. Get Shimi ben Gera. Really? That's David HaMelech's last will? David HaMelech, the sweet singer of Israel. David HaMelech, Malka Mashiach, Malka Shalom, David HaMelech, that's what he wants to tell Shlomo? Get Shimi ben Gera, cursed me out, kill him. Really? Such vengeance? Is that, no, David, that sounds petty, you know, maybe it sounds like a mafia, Lahavdil Olfe Avdolos, a mafia down on his deathbed. Yo, Vinny, make sure you get teeth, you know what I mean? And I'm from Staten Island, right? So, you know, that always comes to mind. You know, is that what he's talking about? David HaMelech, tell him, it doesn't make sense. He says, there's another thing that doesn't make sense. The Gemara in Brachos, Taf Lamed Gimel, Amid Aleph says, great is vengeance, because it was given between two names of God. Kel Nekamos Hashem. Great is vengeance. Vengeance is great. Lo Sika. What do you mean? It's an Aveira to take vengeance. How is vengeance good? Right? No? What does it mean that vengeance is good? So listen to what Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explains. He says, you know what? And he brings many, many other sources from that chicken. I said, Gedola, many Gemaras, many Midrashim. You know what Nekama means? Right? What do we say about Pinchas? Heshev is Hamasi, right? Pinchas took vengeance for God. Kano is Kinasi, Rashi says, Nakom es Niknasi. He took my vengeance for me. What does that mean? This is a very interesting thing, that if Pinchas would have asked Moshe what to do, asked Bezdin for Psak, what do we say? That halacha v'ein morin came. That if someone, you see a Jew being intimate with a non-Jew, halacha v'ein morin kein, it's a law, you're allowed to kill them, but you can't paskin that for anyone. Yeah, go kill him. Why? Because nekama is very dangerous. Nekama, on the one hand, could be something that you're acting out of a sense of ego, out of a desire maybe for violence, out of some type of excitement that you get at the downfall of another. Those types of nekamas are absolutely forbidden. But what nekama is the nekama that's great? What's kel nekamos Hashem? Kvod Shemayim. Nekama also means bringing kvod Shemayim to the world, fixing a chil Hashem, a desecration of God's name. That's why when it tells us who Pinchas was, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, why does it have to give his yichus? Because what the Torah was doing was testifying about Pinchas, that he did it for what reason? Only Kvod Shemayim. How do we know? Because he was the grandson of Aaron, who was Oiv Shalom V'Rodiv Shalom, Oiv Esabrios. He had no sinna towards Zimri. He didn't do it out of hate. He did it for one reason. Because God's name was being desecrated publicly in front of all the Jewish people. And Pinchas says, I'm going to take vengeance for God. I have to increase Kvod Shemayim. David HaMelech, why does he tell Shlomo, get Shimi ben Gera? He's not a mafia don, but as long as Shimi ben Gera survived, the person who's cursed the king, and he walks around, that's a desecration of Hashem's name. Malcolm Mashiach, God's chosen anointed king, was cursed by this guy, and he walks around fine, he walks around with no repercussions. That's a desecration of God's name, right? You know what Kriyas Yamsuf was? If you remember, we learned this from Rav Yitzchak Twersky in the Sefer Amita Shel Torah. Rav Yitzchak Twersky in his Amita Shel Torah pointed this out. What does it mean? Ras Hashivcha Layam, Malaro Yechezkel Bembuzi, B'mayis Merkava. That the simplest person at Kriyas Yamsuf saw something greater than Yechezkel. What is that? In the Ma'is Merkava. The Ma'is Merkava was how the world worked. How God connects to this world. What, greater than the Ma'is Merkava? So remember what we... Cheryl, do you have the notes? No? Not, you don't have last year's in this? Oh, that's a new notebook. Okay. But the idea of that Rav Twersky points out in Amita Shel Torah, the same thing that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz is saying in the Sichas Musar, that Kriyas Yamsuf was the ultimate nekama of Hashem. Why? Because what was it? That's when... What's the greatest knock on Kvod Shemayim in this world? What's the greatest Chilul Hashem in this world? Why people like Daphne Meir are killed in front of their children. A woman who is clearly such a balas emuna, a woman who takes in foster children into her home in middle age. She has four of her own kids. Takes in two young children. I think, oh, they 6 and 4? I forgot the ages. A woman, clearly, as her husband said, 1 in 1,000,000. Such a special woman. Is there greater Chilul Hashem? Is that a para adam? In front of her home? In front of children? Kills her? Plunges and it's such a Chilul Hashem. Kel nekama of Hashem. We wait for Hashem's vengeance. We wait for Hashem's vengeance. We wait that Rasham should be punished, that Tzadikim should be rewarded. That's what the Shifcha saw at the Yam that even Yechezkel didn't see. Moshe Rabbeinu, aside from here, was troubled by it. Tzadik viralo rasha v'tovlo. Why do you have little children that are totally innocent? Rachman al-Tzlan gets so ill. We have such good people, Rachman al-Tzlan, that suffer so greatly in this world in so many different ways. Does it make sense? No, but Kriyas Yamsuf was the one time in history when we saw it. Kriyas Yamsuf was when the good people won. You know, it's when the good people were saved and the Rasham were punished. That's Kel Nekamos Hashem. That's Hashem Ishmael Chama Hashem Shemo. And that's what it means. Nachon Kisacha Me'az. Hashem's name is not whole in this world. God's throne as the manifestation of Hashem's presence in this world is not whole as long as there's still good people suffering. So that's why it was at Kriyas Yamsuf, Nachon Kisacha Me'az, your throne was finally completed from us, Yashir Moshe. That's when they saw it. That's when they could say, Zekeli V'anvehu. This is my God and I will glorify him. They could point, now I understand. This makes sense. That's why we know, Pi Kabbalah, they say, a person who says Az Yashir every day with Kavana, Mochen lo kol avonosof, all your sins are forgiven. If you say Az Yashir with Kavana and with Simcha, because it's the ultimate statement of Emunah. Az Yashir is a statement of faith that horrific things are happening around us. And you know, I mean, Rachman al-Tzlan, I don't know how many of you saw it, but I read this in the news report. I started crying that Roy Fogel had his bar mitzvah this past Shabbos. Remember the name Roy Fogel? His parents, Rav Udi and Ruti Fogel, were killed with 3 of his siblings in Itamar 5 years ago. He was 8 years old. His younger brother was 2. They were in the house for some reason. That terrorist didn't see him. His older sister Tamar was at a neighbor's house. I mean, to see this 13-year-old boy 5 years later smiling and go online, read what his speech, how he spoke about, you know, being embraced by all of the Jewish people. Nachon Kisacha Me'az. You know, we wait. Az Yashir Moshe. And that's why if you could say Az Yashir Besimcha, if you could say Az Yashir in the day Besimcha, it's a day Mochlo Kalavanosav. Means you get it. Means you understand. The Avonos are come when there's a disconnect between, as we said, the mind and the heart. You could say Shira Sayam Besimcha means that the mind and the heart are connected. It's connected, that we know it, but then we can even feel it if we can say Shira Sayam Besimcha. But it's already late, I apologize. But Hashem should just help us. Hashem should just help us. That we should be Zoche, V'haya Bayom Ahu Yehashem Echad Ushmo Echad. That's why we end it. Not with a pasuk from, that's not how the Shira ends. We end Shiras Hayam, V'nei Yishol Holcho V'yabashim Zochem, but we end it every day, V'haya Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Why with that pasuk? Because that pasuk is reflecting the theme of Shiras Hayam. Hashem's name will be one when we'll understand how everything is all one. We'll understand that the tzaras weren't really tzaras, that the tzaras were ultimately for the good. And this is what, in times of distress, I think two very important messages that we get from Parshas B'Shalach. One, as we said, the message, Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha, the message of understanding that Hashem is the ultimate healer, Kol Machlash Shesamti Mitzrayim, and understanding that everything we do has merit. Everything we do has great value. As the Chafetz Chaim told that Talmud, Bacharel, when Hashem et Tanam and Amoraim, missing a marav wasn't a big deal. But today, when the world is in such a low spiritual state, you know what your davening meant? Hashem misses your marav. Do you know what every bracha we say means? Do you know every act of chesed that we do? Every text to someone, how you do it? It makes a difference. It's big. There's no such thing as a small mitzvah. And we have to understand the chashivas that we have. And at the same time, understanding Kel Nekamos Hashem, that to take personal vengeance, very dangerous, very, very bad. But understand the type of vengeance, that it's not a vengeance out of hate, it's a vengeance out of redeeming the name of God. And that's what Shira Sayam was. And that's what we wait for, to be able to sing again. And that's why in the second bracha, at Seder night, the bracha on Geula, we say, V'nomar Lafan of Shira Chadosha, that we sang a song in the past, but we're waiting for Geula v'nomar lefanav shira chadasha, that we're going to say in front of you, Der Bon Shalom, we're going to say a new song. We're going to say a new song. Hashem should bless us all, that we should be able to sing that new song speedily in our days. Shkoyach, shkoyach to everyone.